Awesome. Yeah, what a lekker time. Thank you, Ix. That was lekker. Cool. If you have a Bible, or the guys will put it on the on the screen as well. If you want to turn to Luke 19 with me, verses 1 to 10, I just want to read a story quickly for us. And we know it very well, and I just want to just bring some things through an encounter with Jesus tonight. And so we're going to read that together. For those that are visiting us, my name's Brett. I'm one of the leaders here, and it's just lucky to have you with us. And yeah, amazing. Anyways, so let's read together. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Interesting. I don't know how he knew Jesus was coming that way, but anyways, Jesus was coming that way. It was obviously a road or something. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner?" Interesting. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back to them four times that amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." It's a well-known story. If you were at kids' church any time in your life, you would have heard the story. It's quite a bizarre story about a short guy like Robbie climbing up a tree. Got you back. Oh, one for Brett, zero for Robbie. Mark back later. Hey, man, I shouldn't have thought that one through. And so the first thing I want to say about the scripture is this isn't about Zacchaeus. This is about Jesus. It's about Jesus going somewhere. It's about Jesus doing something. And in Jesus doing what he wants to do, he encounters a man named Jesus and his life has changed forever. And the point I want to make is that it doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what skin color you are, doesn't matter if you speak Afrikaans or English or if you live in this area or not, Jesus wants to make an impact in your life today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And the one thing that we're going to learn about Zacchaeus is he positioned himself in a way to be able to see Jesus, and he positioned him in a way that Jesus saw him. And for a lot of us, we're wanting the kingdom in some way or another. We're wanting Jesus to come and impact our lives in some way or another, but we're not willing to position ourselves up a tree or to give up something or to lay something down or to give something away. And so tonight, I want to speak about positioning ourselves. I think it's very important. But it's all about Jesus. You see, in verse 1, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. It's about Jesus' passing. And you might think your life is important. You might think your life is busy. You might think your life is because you're making money or you're doing cool stuff or whatever. But I'm telling you now, if your focus isn't on Jesus, you've missed it. If you don't allow Jesus to come in and do something in you, you've missed it. Because I'm telling you now, you'll die one day. And these flowers are here because we had a memorial on Saturday. Andrew's dad died. You're not going to be able to take your money with you. You're not going to take your possessions. You're not taking your car. You're not taking your clothes. You're not taking your toys. It's you and the Lord. And Job knew it so well. Naked I came into this world, and naked I will depart. And so your life has to become all about Jesus. Otherwise, it's worth nothing. And so we see Jesus come, and he's on his way. And it's like, I want to say this too. It's Jesus, what he wants to do in your life is not random. It almost feels like, if you read this, Jesus is coming through, and it almost feels like it's random, and then a guy climbed up a tree, and that's pretty random, and because you're short, like Robbie. It's twice, yes, winning. But it's not. Like, Jesus somehow knew his name, and we'll get to that later. It wasn't random. He stops at the very spot, and he says, "Zacchaeus," and he invites Zacchaeus into his life. It's quite an interesting story. And the word "saved" right at the end. So for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The word "save" means to rescue or to save from harm or to heal or even to make whole. And so what you're saying was, Zacchaeus, you have been healed. You have been saved. I'm going to start making you whole today. And you need to understand something about salvation. For those who have been saved for a long period of time, salvation is a continual changing of Jesus brings in our lives every day. So can I say to you this? You've been saved right now. Yeah, so for those that have been walking with Jesus, don't clock out, please. You're going to miss something here. Jesus wants, he has saved us. He's saving us, and one day we will be saved. The Bible is very clear in that. And so Jesus wants to be intentional in your life in this moment. He wants to shift and change and bring you into something fresh. Tomorrow, he wants to be intentional in your life to bring shift and change. The day after, the month after, the year after, until you meet with him face to face, like Tony did last week. Jesus wants to be changing your life. And so you might think he's randomly walking around doing that. He's not. He's actively seeking out the lost. He's trying to save our souls. Does it make sense? You guys follow me? Thank you, Ryan. Amazing. It's interesting because Zacchaeus' name means pure, innocent, and righteous. It's funny. His family gave him that. And a tax collector was totally the opposite of those things. And so tax collectors, if you don't know your history in those days, and he was a chief tax collector, so he was the man. What he would do is he'd exploit his own people, the Jewish people, and take taxes to give to the Romans who were over the Jewish people. But not only that, the Romans would say to the tax collectors, whatever you could get extra, you keep. And so these guys were sly. They would come up with taxes on taxes on taxes, worse than South Africa, actually. And taxes and this and taxes and that. So they did everything to milk the own people, to give money to the opposition in a sense, and then to keep as much. They were exploiting people. That's what his job was. And he was the chief tax collector. So his whole name means pure, innocent, righteous. He was actually stealing every day. That was his job. Corruption. Funny, eh? And he must have been really good at it because he was a very, very wealthy man to give away what he gave away and to still live. So this guy was a mania. He was like top dog, Fortune 500 company owner or something like that. And why did he need to be saved? And why do you need to be saved? Because the Bible is very clear and society shows us this, that no one seeks after God, Romans 3:11. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. Including myself. No one longs after God. No one loves him on their own. No one wants him in his life except when Jesus comes in intentionally and goes, boom, I want you, Brad. I want you, Robbie. I want you, Ryan. I want you, Bruce. And when we position ourselves well, we're able to receive that and he can start changing us. Does it make sense? And like, dude, guys, I was going to say dudes, but I'm not going to say that. We need Jesus every day. I'm going to share a little bit of a pet hate that's crept into Christianity quickly. If you cut an orange in half, you get segments, right? I love orange juice. I squeeze my orange juice every morning. Put the oranges in the fridge the night before, do a run or whatever, and then oh, I love it. But if you cut an orange in half, there's segments, right? There's different compartments. You can see them quite clearly. And what Christians tend to do in this day and age is they compartmentalize their lives. And so there's 15-minute slot or 10-minute slot or 2-minute slot in the beginning of the day. And I'm not saying it's bad. Where Jesus is there, we pray, read our Bible, do a quick little thing so Brett doesn't check up on us. But then we go through the work slot, and we go through the family slot, and the sports slot, and the entertainment slot, and the just, if you're a guy, the no nothing box slot. You know, when you just sit there, and Abby's like, what are you doing? I'm just like, in my nothing box. What does that mean? I don't know, I'm just in my nothing box. And we forget, like, I would say 15 minutes in the beginning of the day in that segment, and then God not being part of your life for the rest of the day or the week, I think we're falling short. I don't think we're positioning ourselves well. So if we take 15 minutes in the beginning of the day, and then maybe 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, and every decision we make, every business thing we go into, we just having Jesus with us, what Wesley, I love Wesley. This guy is going to be power the King of God. I know. And what he's learning, and what he stood up here going, I'm learning something. For a long time, it's like he's trying to hold his business in his own strength. And he is a gifted guy. He's sharp. He's gifted. He's an entrepreneur. He'll be something big in the future. And he's big now. He's bigger. Not in fatness, but in this awesomeness. And what he's had to learn is, God, I can do it my way and probably do well, or I can do it your way and bring God into every aspect of my business and everything. How scary is that? But as soon as he did it, it's power. He phoned me. He's like, Brett, you won't believe it. I'm like, I didn't believe it. Kind of. You know what I mean? Like, I played it cool on the phone. I'm like, but I know my God. I know my God. If he dropped, yeah. And he's like, it's easy, Brett. It's just, and business is just coming. It's because it's God's way. He's been intentional in having God in every aspect of life. And then he says to me, yes, it's been tough, Brett. It's been tough. But I've made a concerted effort to get into the Word and to pray. And I thought, he's got it. Every business meeting, he prays. And then the guy phones him, hey, God told me that you were the guy. You know what I mean? Like, after 9 p.m., yeah, what? And that's having God being intentionally in every aspect of our lives, every segment of our lives. We can't just come worship in the front of the church and go home and live like we want to live. You know, Jesus wants to be intentional in our lives. Man, that took much longer than I need. And so we all need to be saved. We all need Jesus every day. I wouldn't be who I am without him. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without him. I wouldn't be the husband I am without him. I wouldn't be the father that I am without him. I wouldn't have a passion for life without him. Don't cry. So I want to just, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to see Jesus in your life? Before you answer that, think about what I'm asking you. Because if you want Jesus in your life, it's going to sacrifice, it's going to take everything you have. Does it make sense? I saw a quote the other day, freedom is not free. And that's actually and there's like a whole American thing. So they're like, we're free world, we're free. And freedom is free. No, many people have died on a battlefield throughout the centuries for America to be what America is. Freedom is not free. Freedom is losing husbands, sons, fathers in battle so that they can have the freedoms that they're having now. And if you think about it, in Christianity, freedom, we are free. We are free to sing. We are free to shout. We are free to speak in tongues. We are free to preach. We are free to, whatever. We are free. But that freedom cost God everything. It's not free. The Bible says we are bought at a price. You're not your own. If you call yourself a believer of Jesus Christ, you are not your own any longer. You're a child of God. Does it make sense? So do you want to see Jesus? He did. Luke 19:3-4. He wanted to see Jesus so much that he looked at the crowd going, how can I get through this? What can I do to see him? I want to see this man, Jesus. You probably heard about him. Probably heard he was a good teacher. You probably heard maybe that he was doing miracles and signs and wonders, or he's a good speaker. And he's like, I want to see Jesus. And so he doesn't just go, I want to see Jesus, and then go home. He says, I want to see Jesus. And he pushes past the crowd. He runs ahead. He climbs a tree. And I don't know what they looked like because he had those skirty things on. I mean, could have been dangerous for the guys underneath the tree. Who knows? I just wanted to bring some joking in there. Did I cross the line? Am I going to be in trouble? Probably. And he goes and he climbs up a tree and he waits. And the point I'm trying to make is this. Did I lose you guys? No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have. I was doing so well. Then I lost you guys. So I had to bring you back. So he climbs. He's waiting. And so I want to see Jesus. I want Jesus to be part of my life. I want to be. And then we just go, I'm not coming to church because that crazy Brett guy is going to be there. Or I don't want to come to church because the weather's changed and it's cold and raining outside. Or I don't want to go to church because there's a sport on, or whatever it is. Guys, if you want to see Jesus really in your life, with his intentional plan and purpose for you that was set before the foundation of the earth, you've got to seek out of God. You've got to push through the crowds. You've got to climb the tree, whatever that looks like for you. I often say to guys who want to preach, I prayed, come on, give me an opportunity to preach. I said, guys, when I was younger, I made the opportunity to preach. I went to old age homes. I preached at funerals and I preached at weddings. I preached, I made a way. I heard someone want to preach, I'm there. I'm like, go find that thing. If you want to prophesy, practice. If you want to show mercy and you want to show mercy. We had an elders meeting this afternoon and it was just so cool. Like I was going, there's so many things popping in our congregation. I'm probably going to overstep and get into trouble now. But there's CrossFit happening on Tuesdays and Thursdays at my place. And the guys are pulling in and we're having fun. And the ladies are doing book clubs. And there's just life. Like there's just different parts of life everywhere. And I'm like, yeah. It's like, Pierre, where are you? I saw you. Pierre, yeah, he's like, man, I feel like the home groups need to like talk together. The home group leaders aren't talking. He starts a WhatsApp group. It's like, raw, and like he's rising up and things are happening. It's just like, there's stuff happening. I'm like, I'm excited. It feels like, okay, calm down, Ray, calm down. It feels like we are trying to find God. We're trying to meet people. Like wherever the spirit is, like, let's do the thing. We're going to hurt ourselves picking up ties and hitting them. But Jesus is there, you know, like, I don't know. It's like, it's whatever. It's just like, it feels like, We're like pushing through the crowd. We're trying to find, which is, I'm a heart attack here. What's going on tonight? Yes, I'm sweating. It's like crazy. I'm hot to these lights. It's like, thank you. Oh, we're stuck. Oh, my goodness. You guys at the back there. Some worse. And it's about positioning yourself. Because if you read the Bible, like if you read the Bible, almost every single man, woman, child, animal that was used by God, because he used the donkey to speak to somebody, was a nobody in a sense. He used the prostitutes, he used the tax collectors, he used the thieves, because it's not about our strength, it's about Jesus intentionally doing something in us that we can't do on our own. That people go, what? Does it make sense? Okay, Kiff, thank you for being like all cool. And so if you want to see Jesus for yourself, 2 Corinthians 13:5 gives us some keys. It says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? And so what that's saying to us tonight is this. If you call yourself a believer, or if you want Jesus to intentionally, you've got to test yourself. There's got to be fruit in your life. And I preached at Brackenfell a few weeks ago, and I said, if you're trying to just operate in the gifts, and you're focusing on the gifts, the outpouring, the prophecies, the healings, and all of that, but there's no fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in your life, I think you're in dangerous ground. And Jesus says, and they come, people come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, but we did miracles and signs and wonders in your name. And Jesus says to them, I never knew you. The problem there is they never knew Jesus. There was no fruit of Jesus intentionally doing something in their lives because they've never examined their hearts. And so you got to just, in a sense, be like David. Examine my heart, O Lord. Test me to see if I'm with you. And you'll know the fruit immediately. Even now, you know if you're close to the Lord or not. Unless you're unsaved, then you don't know because you're blinded to that. But you know if you're miffed with the Lord or miffed with your leaders or miffed with me or miffed with the worship team or miffed with life. Don't be miffed. You know. You'll know. If you go, God, really show me how the thing's in me. Trev, can I use your story? So there's some issues. Should I say this nicely? Yeah, I'm in a position, yeah. And so Trevor was battling with some stuff, with authority stuff. And I heard about it. I tried to get all the sides and all that. And then I called Trevor in on Friday last week, and Stephen. And I said to him, bud, I think there's a thing in your heart. I think you've overstepped your authority. I think you've missed it. I think you've misread this. You've misread the person, I think. And you know what I loved about him? It took about an hour to convince him. But you know what I love about him? He said, you know what? It might be something in me. That's examining oneself. Yes, Brett, I think what you're saying is actually true. I'm so sorry. He went away and he did what he needed to do. He got right with the Lord. And then what made me more happy than that, I got a message 2 days ago. A voice note saying, Brett, you won't believe the freedom of what you spoke into my life and I've put it into practice. And man, I'm so proud of him. And Jesus is so proud of him because he positioned himself for Jesus to do more in him. Yeah, that got me excited as a pastor. I was just like, yeah. And I can check the demeanor change in him because he's high in his heart. And then he went, oh! And then he examined himself and he went, oh! And I know his heart is, Jesus, I want to be up the tree. I want you to notice me. I want you to see, I want to position my heart where I can be the best that I can be for you. And look at him, man. He's glowing, him and his beautiful wife. It's awesome. As I cry a lot. What is going on? And so, can I ask you to do the same thing? You might do it now in this moment. The Holy Spirit might be working on you already. You might have to do it tonight or tomorrow morning or whenever you have a free moment. But just, it's a good practice to go, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to notice. I want to notice you. So say, show me what's in my heart. It's a scary place to be. But man, it brings freedom. I don't want to get too heavy. I want it to be a light. It doesn't seem to be working out like that. So can I ask you another question? So there's this crowd in front of him. It's blocking him. He's short. He can't see Jesus. Can I say this? What is the crowd in your life that you need to get around? What's that thing that's blocking you from positioning your heart in a way that might even make you look undignified? I don't think it was a very good thing for a very rich man, a chief tax collector, to climb a tree to see a crazy prophet guy coming through the town. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a weird story. But what's your crowd? What's that thing that you got to push through? Is it a relationship possibly? Is it a new engagement? No, I'm just kidding. I wanted to pick on you guys. Because that ring is bling. Yes, Ray, when you shone, I was like, our guys, awesome. That's awesome. Are you making your husband or your wife an idol? It's possible. Are you so wanting to a boyfriend or a girlfriend that that's all you're thinking about and you that's your crowd you got to get through and you're never going to see Jesus until that thing dies? Did I tell you how I met Abby? Have I told you? Okay, let me tell you again. Thank you. Yes, that was very quick. So I was at that place. Like, God, there are no chicks in this church, like at all, that I was serving in as a pastor. I'm like, I'm going to be lonely for the rest of my life. So I even went to the senior guy, the senior pastor, my pastor, and I said, Barry, you got to let me go at night, smoking or hunting. And I was like, it sounds bad now that I'm bringing out there, but. And I was that desperate. I'm not even lying to you. And I felt the Lord rebuke me. I felt the Lord say, like almost audibly, Brett, this thing is an idol now, and this is not me. And I was like, whoa. And so I laid it down that Sunday. It was actually a Sunday night after church. I went home. I wept for hours. I really believed I'd be like not married ever. The same night, Abby was meeting with her parents after church, never knew each other, never met before. And she went to them going, I actually feel like I'm going to meet my husband very soon. Please, can you pray? The right guy comes that loves Jesus. That Monday morning, I was doing the assembly at Edgemy Primary, where Bethy is now. And Abby just happened to be shadowing a teacher who was my Sunday school superintendent at the church I was serving at. And I did my talk, and I always joke with her. She saw my sexy behind, because they were behind me. And she didn't see my face, but... And I was like, woohoo. And I was preaching, I was doing my thing. And I just imagined, like, Abby's like, whoa, that guy is just so good looking. I'm just kidding. I've been naughty tonight. I'm going to be in so much trouble. Anyways. And so I preach. And that Monday afternoon, I get this message from Glennis, who phones me. Hey, Brett, there's this amazing Christian girl named Abby. I find out she doesn't have a boyfriend. She has a phone number. She's waiting for a call. So I phone her, and she's like super comedy. Yo, let's go out today. I'm like, what the? I was like, and love at first sight. Who would have thought? Went out for a first date. I didn't know you're supposed to do something small. I went big. It was like I worked out my money and all that kind of stuff. I put in enough petrol to get her the thing and to get back. I was very poor youth pastor. And my wife for 13 years. And again, it's about positioning. I had to get the place to die to that thing. Yeah, I'm doing too long. I'm not going to hit my 35 minutes today. Yeah. It could be work. It could be habits, good or bad. It could be time. I'm hearing a lot, and I say it a lot too, so I'm trying to learn through this. I'm just so busy, I don't have any time for anybody. And a thought that I had was, are you really that busy, or are you just very good at procrastinating and then not getting through your stuff? What is the crowd that you need to get through? Is it fun? Is it sports, hobbies, things like that? I got to be careful for that because I love hobbies. I love hobbies a lot, so I got to be careful for that. It could even be hurts. And what I'm hoping Jesus is doing right now through the Spirit is that you realize and identify what that crowd is. So once we have identified it, we can actually see that we could actually get through that so we can meet with Jesus. Because often our problems can be so big that all we can see is the problem. The Bible is very clear. It says all things work for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And so I believe even those crowds, those things, those relationships, those hurts, if we realize that's a problem, all things are used to the good. Right? So we can step through the crowd or around the crowd or up a tree and meet with Jesus. I think it comes to identifying what that thing is. Once we've identified it, we can push through it or push past it, and we can actually meet with Jesus. Does it make sense? Kiff. And when that happens, transformation starts to take place. What are you willing? What is your tree as well? Before I go into that, I've only got two more points, so it's going to be really quick. But what is your tree? What do you have to do to see Jesus in your life? So what is your crowd and what is your tree? Is it just purely coming to the front of the church and raising your hand in worship and you feel like, yes, that is like the worst thing for me? Is it going up to a total stranger that's here and just like, I feel like the Lord is saying something to you? Because the Bible is very clear. If we die to ourselves, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, we cannot produce fruit. I'm dying on a daily basis so that I can live on a daily basis. Does it make sense? What is your tree? What do you have to climb up? Pull up your skirt and get up the tree. I mean, that's weird. What is that for you? What is your fear that you got to get around? Fear of man or fear of what people think or... What is your tree, and are you willing to climb it? And when it comes to this point of my preach, I need to say this. Guys, we all have an element of pride in our lives, and pride will stop us from climbing that tree. Either you're going to think too lowly of yourself and think that you're not worth it to be up the tree, that Jesus will stop and see you, or you think you're too high, you think too highly of yourself and going, well, I'm not going to get the tree because, I mean, Jesus should meet me at my place of need. And I think we've got to kill the pride inside of us. And if you look at Zacchaeus, as crazy as the story is, I don't think he had any pride or any inhibition. Because he got up that tree. He got around the crowd. He was willing to find Jesus where he was. And he did. It's an amazing story. And so then it's like, this is cool. So he gets into position. He's in the tree. He's got through the crowd. He's humbled himself. And then Jesus calls him in verse 5, Luke 19. And when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him by name, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now, I looked at many commentaries, and we don't know. We don't know if Jesus had heard about Zacchaeus. We don't know. But there's something that happens there. He walks to the very spot. He looks up the very tree, and he says, by name, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm coming to your house. Now, it could be that because Jesus created everything, and he knows everything, and before the foundation of the earth, he knew who you were, and he knew who I am, and he knows how many hairs I don't have, and he knows how many hairs you do have, that in that moment, he knew Zacchaeus needed him, and he knew salvation was coming to his home. And he said, Zacchaeus, I'm calling you. Put your name into that. Just the fact that Jesus knows your name is awesome. But better than that, if your name is in the book of life, you'll have eternity with him. It's beautiful. And so I believe tonight, Jesus is calling your name. I do. I can't doubt that because he's that big. And he's calling you and he's saying, hey man, I want to do some business with you. I want to change you from the inside out. I want to shift something in you. I want you to bear fruit like you've never bought before. Are you hearing him say, I want you, Brett, or I want you, Robbie, or I want you, Tony, or I want you, Lindsay? It's a good question. And it's like, when he says, I must stay at your house today, it's not just, I'm coming in for half an hour and having some tea and leaving. In that culture, he stayed overnight. He stayed with him. He cared with him. They ate. They probably watched the fire. I don't know. Jesus told amazing stories. It was like, they're telling cool stories. Like, just picture it. Like, they're telling cool stories and everyone's doing cool. And like, Jesus is like, yeah, you know what? Hey, I came to this guy and he had like a legion of demons in him. And so I cast him into the pigs and they all ran into the water and they all died. And the oak's like, wow. You mean like, how do you outdo that story? I mean, just imagine, he stayed at his house. He saw his family and he saw his kids and what's in his fridge was Jesus's for that moment. It's gift. And like Jesus is not an impersonal God. He is a personal God. He wants to come into your house and he wants to stay there. He's not a spare wheel. He's the living Savior. Amazing. And so I suppose what I want to say to you is this. Be ready. Because if you ask him, if you seek him, you'll find him. And then don't be taken by surprise. You know, think about it. Like, if you're asking for something, like, even these testimonies, they're amazing. But should we be surprised? I don't know. I don't want to take anything from them because they're amazing. But, like, our God is that big. That if we ask him and if we seek him, we will find him. And so then we're like, oh, Jesus came and he was amazing. I'm like, should we be surprised? We should be going, yeah, God, we're in the right place. We position ourselves to actually hear you because I think he's speaking all the time. I think he's active in our lives all the time. It just depends on if we want to see him or not. So be ready. Isaiah 55:6 says this. Seek the Lord while he may be found and calling him while he is near. And I really sense something in my spirit that like, he's near. Like, how can we have worship like that and him not be near? Call on him while he may be found. Amazing. Okay, I'm going to start landing. I don't know about you, but one of my things that I live by, maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing. Like, since I'm younger, I said to myself, I never want to look back when I'm on my deathbed, I never want to look back on my life and regret anything. I want to live my life in a way that honors Jesus more than anything else. And in that, hopefully, everything spills out of that. The best husband, best dad, best pastor that I could best. I've met too many people and about to transition. And they're just like, I wish I spent more time with my family. I made so much money, but now I wish this. And I want to get to my in my life and go, man, you know what? I lived as much as I could. And when Jesus said, go, I went. And when Andrew said, take over, I did. Or go to wherever. I just want to live my life like that. And I think Zacchaeus had that. Like, something started stirring. I'm like, I don't want to waste anything. And there's an amazing quote. Let me just find it in my notes here quickly. From C.T. Studd, one of my favorite poems. And I'm not a poet. I don't really like poetry, but I like this one line in this poem. It says, only one life, 'twill soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I think she sums up everything I'm trying to say. It's like, we have one life, guys, and it's very short. One life. And the only stuff that will remain, the only impact that you will leave is what's done for Christ. So anything. And so be ready. If you seek God, if you position yourself well, if you climb that tree, if you push past the crowds, don't be surprised when he comes in and he changes your life from the inside out. And you know how you're going to see change. You know how you're going to see that God is in your life. People are going to go, I do not understand what's going on with that person. Why is he preaching there? I should be. He shouldn't be up there. He shouldn't be doing better in business. their kids shouldn't be healed. They don't deserve that. Man, when the grace of God comes on a person, Oaks will go, I do not understand what is happening right now. And so same with what I, surely Jesus is taking that sinner into the house and he's staying over. That's what happened. They were like, and they're the Pharisees, Sadducees. They're the guys that are like, woo, all high and mighty, like we the teachers of the, why isn't he coming to our houses? See, something of grace that comes in when we start doing these kind of things. And out of that, intimacy and personal relationship starts coming. And then I'm going to end with this. And there's a heart operation. I called my preach, I didn't say it in the beginning. I called it from treetops to heart ops. So from a treetop, there's a heart operation that happened. And the heart operation is outstanding. In verses 8 of the scripture that I've read in Luke 19. This is the heart up. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord. He didn't say it to his peers. He didn't say it to his family. He didn't say it to himself. He said to the Lord. It's beautiful. He said, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody, and he knew he cheated everybody, basically, out of anything, I will pay it back 4 times the amount. And see, in Zacchaeus' heart, there's confession. There's dying to self. There's giving away resources. He's actually getting to the end of it. He saw something in Jesus that he'd never seen before. He saw something in Jesus that he was willing to give up everything. It was actually, he saw the field and he saw the treasure in the field. And in his joy, he went and gave everything away to buy that field. And can I challenge you? If you are not seeing the Lord as I'm seeing the Lord, and willing to give up everything, as Zacchaeus saw the Lord, and willing to give everything in joy, I'm telling you now, you're not seeing the Lord right. You're not. You still got crowds in front of you. Because when you do see Jesus like he is, and when you do realize the sacrifice he made, and when you do understand that the grace that you are experiencing shouldn't be for you, yeah. It's just like, I'm not worthy, God, but I'm going to take it. And doesn't Paul write that? Take this salvation. Take hold of it. And don't let go. And sometimes and most often, I think entitlement creeps into our churches and creeps into our hearts. I deserve, actually we deserve nothing. 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 Zacchaeus didn't deserve Jesus to stop in that moment and say, Jesus, I'm coming. I'm hanging. I'm going to change your life forever. And the evidence of faith in this change is immediate. Sometimes it's longer for me. I don't know. Sometimes God can do cool stuff in people's lives. But Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is the son of Abraham. And there's a definitive moment of salvation. But like God just does something special in some people's lives, you know. And they just, one day they just nowhere, and the next day they're just powering, like Wesley. And like others.